blind, but now I see.
Thank you. Certainly thankful for Brother Jay's wonderful message this morning. If you want to turn with me, we'll be in Matthew chapter 5. And what a wonderful blessing. Brother Jay touched on two different realms in our world. He touched on the scientific realm, which testifies that, yes, there was indeed a literal flood, and that was something that was able to happen because God made it happen. And then the historical aspect of the truth of God's word. And I'm thankful that in the realm of science and in the realm of history that our God is a God of grace. And that's the wonderful message of God's word. We were not able to get the job done. It was impossible for us, but God is gracious. He's blessed us eternally. And I'm thankful for the grace of God that continues along even as we gather here this morning. And that's a blessing to think about. We see all of the difficulties and trials and tribulations in our world, but I want you to stop for a minute and just think, what would it be like without God's hand of grace with us right now? If he just removed his hand of restraining grace, we can't even imagine how bad things could be. So thank you for that message. This morning I want to speak on a subject for a few minutes that may not be the most it may be a subject that perhaps you didn't think you were going to come to church and hear about this morning, but I want to speak on the subject of mourning. It's been a subject that's been on my mind for some time, but it's interesting. The Word of God also has a lot to say about mourning, and specifically this morning I want us to look at what Jesus Christ says about mourning and see that there is a great blessing when we mourn as God's children. If you want to turn with me, we'll be in Matthew chapter 5. We have the beginnings of the Sermon on the Mount where our Lord goes up into the mountain and he begins to teach his people. It's always been a fascinating thing to me. We see at the very beginnings of our Lord's ministry, his desire was to teach his people. And as he starts this sermon, he very quickly goes into, again, a subject that's not comfortable for us, I think, in our society today, a subject that we like to ignore and as a whole, as far as a culture and as a society. And he teaches us that there's a great blessing in mourning, a great blessing in sorrow. Well, let's start reading at Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read down to verse 4. I want to pay particular attention to verse 4 this morning, but verse 1 says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." That's not a popular message in our society today. Many people, they go into various services, worship services, and a lot of times they go in with the consumer mentality that I want to go and I want to be entertained and I want to hear positive things. I want to hear what I can do for myself. I want to hear about all of the opportunities that will come to me in this world if I'm faithful enough, if I'm good enough. But it's interesting, we have recorded in Scripture as Jesus begins his teaching ministry, he says two things that goes contrary to those ideas. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I think in 2019, we need to be reminded of that truth, what Jesus said, that it is blessed to mourn. It is blessed to, you're blessed when you feel sorrow. You're blessed. Why is that? He says, for they shall be comforted. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about this, and we need to understand that the Word of God teaches that it's appropriate for us to grieve. It's appropriate for us to mourn from time to time. The wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he says, there's a season, for everything there is a season. And he says, and a time to every purpose under heaven. He talks about there being a time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal. And then about verse 4, he says, there's also a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh, and there's a time to mourn. The wise man Solomon said, there is an appropriate time for us to mourn. In James chapter 4, James says, for as God's people, he's speaking along the thread of us obeying God and following the commandments of God. James says, for us as God's people, he commands us to be afflicted and mourn and weep. And he says, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. James in the New Testament says there's a time to mourn. And then we read about our Savior's many, many years prior to his message on the Sermon on the Mount, Isaiah speaking in prophecy of the nature of who our Messiah was going to be. In Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah says that he is despised and rejected of men. Then he says, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now we fast forward back to what we read in the Gospel of Matthew, and now we have the man of sorrows ascending the mountain and saying that you are blessed when you mourn. That's a message for 2019 United States of America. It is blessed when we take time to mourn. And I want us to look at this in the context of God's Word, because I think as a culture, godly biblical mourning is discouraged. I think in general we live in a time where people are discouraged to mourn. At least people are discouraged to mourn too long. I've had circumstances that I'm intimately acquainted with where individuals have suffered the loss of a loved one. I think of like when a parent would lose a child. And I've had situations, not recently, but I have situations that I can recall where individuals had suffered that loss that, according to everything that we know and believe is unnatural loss, and they grieve and sorrow. And people, I believe, well-meaning people, but wrong people will say, well, it's time to stop mourning and time to move on. Don't say that to someone that's grieving and mourning. Don't ever say that. Don't do that. You may be thinking you're helping, but you're not. But I want you to understand as well that just in general, as we look at mourning and grieving, the world as a whole, our culture as a whole, just doesn't take time to mourn and grieve like it should. And I think that's probably something that's relatively new the last few generations in our culture and in our society. But since Jesus spoke this, apparently there's something in our nature that wants to reject this mourning. But I think that what happens is we just choose not to do that because it's not comfortable, it's not natural for us, and we just want to push away that sorrow, push away the mourning. I remember when my first grandfather passed away. When I was a couple of years in college, and he was one that was always full of energy. And he got sick, and very quickly he went downhill and he passed away. And just to put it kindly, there's a lot of folks in that family that you're not going to find at church on Sunday morning, but there was the folks that he loved, his friends and his family. We were gathered there after he passed away. And I still remember after all of this happened, and folks were sad, rightfully so. Folks were upset. There was one member of the family that, as people were there and sorrowful and sad, one member of the family, he stood up and says, well, I've had enough of this. Who wants a beer? And it ended up that after that, that much of those individuals there, they gathered together to imbibe in alcohol to numb the sorrow and numb the mourning. And as I got to thinking about that this past week again, I'm thinking that's a very apt descriptor of what many of us trying to do. Instead of mourning, instead of doing what Jesus says and being blessed in our mourning, we just want to push it aside because what? Because our society says we need to be happy and we need to get happy as quick as we can. I don't know, maybe that was what Noah was thinking when he got off that ark. I've been stuck on here. Let's forget about this for a while. But that was what happened when my first grandfather passed away. Instead of mourning and grieving and having healthy sorrow, let's imbibe an alcohol to the point where we're numb to it. But that's the way of the world, isn't it? The world is all about happiness and getting happiness as quickly as we can. I want to be happy, so let me get married as quick as I can because that'll make me happy. The other end of that coin, sometimes people say, well, I want to be happy, so let me get divorced as quick as I can so I can be happy. Yeah. I want to be happy, so let me eat to the point of gluttony. Let me just fill myself up because when I'm filled up with food and things I like, I'm happy. Or it could be the other way. Let me get as thin as I can and then I'll be happy. Let me take this pill. Let me do this. Let me chase this entertainment so it'll make me happy. What a lot of that is our human nature, and we're rejecting what the Word of God says, that there's a time to mourn. There's a time to weep. There's an appropriate time for sorrows. And we have the Man of Sorrows saying now, we're blessed when we mourn. The world does not respond to mourning in the pattern that God's Word instructs us to. Now, but when we think about this, though, what was Jesus specifically speaking about when he said, it's blessed to mourn? What specifically is he saying here is when he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's a lot of things we can mourn about, isn't there? Maybe we mourn the loss of some relationship we have in this world. You know, I mourn and grieve relationships that I once had with folks that don't have anymore, or relationships that aren't as strong as they used to be. We mourn the loss of sometimes material things. Maybe we have a job we like that we lose, or maybe we lose some financial security that we had because of one situation or another. Maybe we lose our house. I've known people that have lost their houses because of repossession, or their houses have burned down, or they've lost their home in some natural disaster. Maybe it's the loss of our reputation. I've known people that have done something, or their reputation has been ruined, and they grieve and they mourn because of that. Those are things that we mourn about. But what was Jesus talking about when he said, blessed are they that mourn? What specifically was he talking about for God's people in their mourning, that they're blessed with comfort as God's people? Well, I believe what Jesus Christ is ultimately talking about, he's talking to us as God's children when we mourn the loss of righteousness. We mourn our inability to honor and serve him. Now, understand what Jesus was speaking to, a people that had been beat down by the legalism of their day, by the Pharisees who had perverted the righteousness of God, and they had started this works-based system that says, in order for you to be saved, you have to do something about it. Now, there were those that were looking at that system, and probably a lot like today, they understood that they were never going to be able to get it done. They were never going to be able to live a righteous and an honorable life. And can you imagine the hopelessness that came with that? You know, I think about that. If that was what I embraced this morning, that it was based off of my works, my ability, my strength and keeping a certain amount of God's commandments or any of God's commandments, that would be mournful, wouldn't it? Now, I believe he was speaking to a people that had been beat down by that false teaching that says you have to get it done in order to earn God's favor and go to heaven. I believe he's speaking to those that were mourning their inability to do this. They were mourning their lack of moral goodness, mourning their lack of ability to achieve God's commandments. And he's saying, blessed are you that mourn, for you shall be comforted. Now, it's interesting. When we think about the Word of God, and along the lines of what Brother Jay said this morning, why did God flood the earth? Because of the sinfulness of man, because of the wickedness of man. And I'm thankful that God did indeed show his grace in that circumstance. Yeah. But we look at it from the eternal perspective as well. Why are we all condemned as mankind? Well, let me finish. Why are we all condemned in mankind in our own flesh? Because we do not have enough righteousness to achieve God's standard. We cannot keep God's commandments. We cannot keep God's word. Now, there's a lot of things we can mourn about in this world. We can mourn about material things. We can mourn about lost relationships. We can mourn about the state of affairs in our country and in our world. But my friends, what we really should be focusing in on and mourning about is the large gap between us and God because of our sin. Now you think, Jesus is speaking to a people that were, again, they were being taught that you have to get the job done. Now, again, we realize we can't get the job done. That ought to bring us to tears. That ought to cause us to mourn. That ought to cause us to grieve. But Jesus has the wonderful good news, since blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, what we need to understand as God's people is the greatest grief that we should have should be because of sin. It should be because of our many sins and our many shortcomings and that we are far away from God because of our sins. We are separated eternally from God because of our sins. You know, to me, as Jesus is speaking here, the comparison between us and God, when you meditate upon that, that ought to drive us to our knees. That ought to drive us to mourning. You know, John, 1 John chapter 1, he tells us who God is. Why is there such a gap between us and God? Well, in 1 John chapter 1, John says that, speaking of God, he says God is light. And then he makes the contrast, and in him is no darkness at all. What John is trying to, the picture that John is painting there is that God is perfect. There's no darkness in him. There's no sins in God. There's no shortcomings in God. God has never made a mistake. God has never committed a sin or a transgression. He's totally light. And I tell you what, that should make us mourn when we think, here is God, all perfect, God that is all light. And here we are in our darkness. That will make you mourn when you think about it, and rightfully so, when we contemplate the holiness of God and our sinfulness. I think of, like, in Leviticus chapter 5. You want to know how sinful you are? You say, well, I haven't committed a level of transgression that's got me in jail, you know, so I think I'm doing pretty well. I have not, you know, I've lived a pretty good life, but notice the standard of God. In Leviticus chapter 5, when all of these commandments are being given in the Old Testament time and it's talking about sins, notice the level of detail that God's word goes into. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 17, Moses writes, "And if a soul sin and commit any of those things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity." Not only do we see we're condemned because of the quote-unquote big sins or the sins that we're aware of, but we see condemnation comes with sins that we're not even aware of. And that should drive us to mourn. At my very best, I'm going to miss something and I'm going to transgress and disobey the holy commandments of God. My friends, there's a healthy mourning and understanding that we are failures according to God's standard. We can't even plead ignorance, can we? We're condemned. We should mourn and grieve about that, but I'm thankful that it is not left there. I am thankful that we're just not left in that state of mourning. It's healthy to mourn. And all avenues of life, at all levels, is healthy for us to have sorrow and grief when appropriate. There's an appropriate time for it. But I want you to understand, as a child of God, as we contemplate the holiness of God, and as we contemplate how far away we are from God's holiness and God's righteousness, it should be bringing a perpetual state of humility and brokenness to us. And in that, we're drawn closer unto our God. Yeah. The world says, well, you don't need to mourn. You just need to be happy and get happy as quick as you can. That's not the proper response. Our Lord's response is, he really says, we're to embrace it. He says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Yeah. And then we see that there's a blessing. We see our God, our Lord's response in mourning. The wonderful blessing is there is comfort in that. Here's the wonderful blessing. I'm thankful that God destroys mourning. When we mourn, God takes care of it. We see the Old Testament. We see the flood and the cataclysmic events that occurred during that flood. But there was grace in the midst of the flood. Yeah. We see in the affairs of our world, we see chaos. We see much to be sorrowful about. But Jesus says, they shall be comforted. That's the opposite of the way the world is, isn't it? The world says, get happy fast. But what do we see? The happiness of the world is just temporary and fleeting at the best. It is. You can numb away the pain for a little while, but then whatever you're doing to try to forget about the pain doesn't work anymore, and you're trying to seek solace in other things. No, true joy comes from mourning and recognizing that you are indeed a sinner. You are indeed far away from God, but by His grace, He's brought you near. He paid for our sins. That's the wonderful blessing that we have as God's people. What kind of comfort do we enjoy? You say, well, Brother Michael, I don't have a lot of comfort in this world. Well, that may be the case. And as God's people, I believe that we're always going to have some level of discomfort in this world. If we don't have discomfort in this world, it's time for us to assess our actions and our lifestyles. And perhaps we've just gotten too comfortable in the world. But we do take comfort. Whatever's happening in this world, we take comfort in the midst of grief and sorrow, grief at sin, grief at this flesh that we deal with, that we have comfort in Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah. Well, what kind of comfort does God's Word talk about? Well, one of the great blessings that we have is the promise of eternal comfort. As we consider this world and as we consider how we fall short from God's standard, and we consider what Jesus Christ did for us and paid our sin debt, I hope it takes our minds to things beyond this world. And I love Revelation chapter 21. You want to see comfort in mourning, and you want to see the wonderful blessing of the comfort that comes from God. Revelation chapter 21, John is writing about what's awaiting us as God's people when the Lord returns. Right. Notice Revelation chapter 21. This Revelation chapter 21 says, and this is John speaking. He's speaking about when the Lord returns and what that's going to look like. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away. Why do we not put stock in this world that we're living in, and even when bad things happen and we suffer in this world, why don't we put a lot of emphasis on that? It's going to pass away. When the Lord comes back, John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He said, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And this is the chapter of no more. He says that there was no more sea. Oftentimes, the sea in the Bible is a picture of turmoil and troubles and trials. The wicked is a troubled sea. I believe it's what Scripture says. He says when the Lord returns, troubles and trials, all of those things that are rumbling. And again, if you just assess your life for just a minute, there's always going to be some kind of trouble, some kind of difficulty, some kind of challenge in every avenue of life, in your family, at work, in your neighborhood, in your home. When the Lord comes back, we can take comfort in that there'll be no more drama. I had to do some interviews at work, and one of the stipulations that I put in all of my interviews. If anybody's going to work for me, I say, I really don't want drama in the workplace. Now, is that going to assure there will be no drama? No, I wish it does. Makes me feel better to say that. But when the Lord comes back, troubles and trials will be over. No more sea. He said in verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." This is the wonderful blessing. The Lord comes back. We're going to be united with him. And it says in verse 3, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.'" I'm so thankful. We understand because of what Christ did on the cross, the gap between God and his people, that gap was filled because of what Jesus Christ did. But now John writes about when the Lord returns, it says he's going to be there with men. He's going to be there with his people, and he's going to be there forevermore, it says. "And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." But notice what it says then in verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." When the Lord returns, everything's going to be made right, isn't it? He made it right on the cross. But we still live in this sin-cursed earth, full of trials, full of tribulations, and we grieve, we mourn a multitude of things. We mourn loss, and rightfully so. Mourning is good. Mourning is healthy, especially mourning over our sinful condition and how we have dishonored God. But we get comforted knowing that he is coming back. He is going to call his people home some sweet day. And the comfort is that when we're in his presence, there will be no more mourning. Because he says the former things are passed away. Right. We can have comfort in that, can we? Can't we? What a wonderful blessing that we see that the comfort of God will be an eternal comfort and a personal comfort. It says here a couple times, he will be there with us. It says, God himself shall be with them and be their God. What a blessing to think about. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I pray as God's people this morning that we would mourn and grieve our sins. That would constantly be before us. That we never get so callous to that, or so cavalier, or even, God forbid, make light of it. But recognize that we are dependent upon an all-holy, all-just God to save us. And to know that he is coming back someday as we fight the battles of this world. He's coming back. And we're going to be comforted in our sorrows and our distress. Yes, indeed, we serve the God of all grace. May the Lord comfort us in those thoughts.
Amen. Brother Jimmy, what is On Christ the Sorrow? What number is that?
343. 343. Turn to hymn number 343.